Blog Talk Radio.
This is your time with Josie. We'll have a blast every Friday right here. I'll make it memorable for listeners all ages. So glad you joined me today. This is your time with Josie. We'll have a blast every Friday right here. I'll make it memorable for listeners all ages. So glad you joined me today.
Hey everyone, it's Josie from Your Time with Josie. Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties beforehand. We got all mixed up with this advertisement thing that's starting to play before we do it, so let's see here. Welcome everyone listening live, and a shout out for those that are also in the chat room: Trina, Eric B, LHG Max, Tanda, Amanda, Savannah, Liz, Reba, and Slota. Hi. All right. So yes, everyone to listen, just refresh your page and click the play arrow. Let me know, Alan. Let me know if you guys could hear us. Josie difficulties. Yes, that's pretty much what just happened. So everyone, welcome to the show. We have an awesome show for you guys tonight. We will have speak with singer Eric Davenport and hear a live performance from him as well. We have a funny chit chat segment, hilarious tweets to share. So stay tuned for the whole show. Let's start out with our chit-chat segment. So I found a site called Faces of Lawsuit Abuse.org where you can vote for the most ridiculous lawsuits. This was both funny and surprising, and I wanted to share a few with you and get your votes from the chat room or call in to tell us what you guys think of the most ridiculous lawsuit. In order of ridiculous to the most ridiculous, voted on by the Your Time with Josie staff, here we go. So, number four, Kardashian sisters are sued because the show caused a man extreme emotional distress. number three, a lawyer sues flip-flop maker for failure to warn of the dangers of flip-flops. number two, a male lawyer sues nail salon for $200,000 for charging men $2 more than women. And number one is an inmate who killed and dismembered victims sues over a pulled tooth, claiming cruel and unusual punishment. So tell us what you think is the most ridiculous, and we will read your vote on the air. So let's see what you guys are saying. Yes, can you guys all hear? Okay, awesome. Yes, before I continue any further, we have a birthday in the chat room. Savannah loves Reba. Happy birthday. Also, I want to mention Trina, one in the chat room. Welcome to Your Time with Josie. It's 8 o'clock a.m. by her. She's in the Philippines. So, hi, welcome. So glad you're staying with us today. And now I also would like to take a moment to say thank you to our sponsors, Save a Pet in Georgia. You can visit their site at www.saveapetinc.com, or go to our website and click on the link to see the featured pet of the month. Her name is Molly. She's almost albino Dalmatian. She is beautiful. Remember, local adoptions only. Dunkin' Donuts in Oriole Plaza would like to thank them as well, in Delray Beach, Florida, for their support in promoting Your Time with Josie every week. If you live in Delray Beach, Florida, stop by and get some yummy donuts or any of their other awesome donuts. Sound effects. Okay. All right. I am not going to explain. Okay. So, let's see here. Now I would like to welcome Eric Davenport.
Hello.
Hello, Eric.
How are you?
Hi. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What was the big flush?
Okay, well, it was, we recently had our one-year anniversary show, and we were mentioning,
happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we were mentioning on the show some funny behind-the-scenes moments that happened from when I just started this as a 14-year-old, and now, you know, positioning myself now as 15. And there was that flash before. There's a funny story behind the scenes that when I first started, we had a phone in the bathroom. And
oh.
So I wanted to do the show from the bathroom. so not many people could say that they interviewed celebrities from the bathroom. But so that was one starting out.
I have arrived. I just want to tell your listeners that one of the reasons that I'm on the show today is to confirm the fact that only that the reason that Oprah is actually leaving the airwaves is because you're up and coming, and she doesn't want to be second like she was behind Rosie O'Donnell again. So it's all Josie's fault that Oprah is leaving television.
Thank you. We need a pause button for that one. But, yeah, that's true. That was hilarious. But, yeah, definitely.
Cat's out of the bag now.
I'm taking over. I'm taking over now.
we know. We
definitely.
Know. I have arrived.
Exactly.
I'm on the Josie show. How much better can you move over, Leno? You know, move over everybody else. It's Josie.
Awesome. Totally. And I get to interview you, which I find fun because you are hilarious and you are just so awesome. And you're on Facebook and Twitter. First off, can you give us everyone in the chat room those links so they'll be able to find out more about you and chat with you?
Oh, okay. You mean the links to like my website?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You can usually get a hold of me at www. Did I say too many W's? There's supposed to be three W's there. MCMLegalTender.com. And if you go to links to others, you can find my MySpace, my Twitter, and everything else, Facebook, and all of those things you can get to right from there.
Awesome.
You can leave a comment and sign up for the newsletter, the email. You'll get updates as to what I'm doing and, you know, when I'm going to be out of prison, all of that good stuff.
Totally. And I am going to, after the show, I am going to post everywhere your links so people could check up and see what's going on.
Okay. Sounds good.
Awesome. So, yeah. So I am going to start off with a quick interview. We also have fan questions as well.
Okay.
So I'm just going to start. At what age did you start singing?
Oh, gosh. I really can't answer that. You know, really probably not until like the fifth grade or so, but not until the seventh grade did I start playing music in bands and things like that.
Awesome.
You know, I grew up around a very rich musical family. When I say rich, it's, you know, my grandmother sang, my mother sang, you know, my aunt sang, they played the piano. I had a lot of exposure to music from an early age. I thought I was a musician when I was 5 or 6 because you used to hammer on the piano, but I don't think it was music. Kept the rats out of the house, but, you know, wasn't very musical.
There you go. Oh, man. But, okay, yeah. So in fifth grade and seventh grade. Wow, that's awesome. Did you start performing, live when you were that young?
Well, I was, you know, in a little band in junior high school. And, we performed around and, you know, we thought we were something. But we were okay, actually. We were probably one of the first bands in our area to cover songs by like Black Sabbath, you know, and I was there, you know, and it was interesting. And we did a variety of types of music, rock music, and one of them just happened to be Black Sabbath.
That is so cool. And that leads us to our next question. So who are your biggest musical influences?
Well, of course, you know, everybody knows that I'm a big Beatle fan. And, of course, my favorite Beatle is Paul, and then next John. I love them all. I'm a big Elvis fan. I have a lot of influences, both in all types of music, from country to rock to classical. You know, I'm a big Mozart fan. Watched the movie at least a dozen times. I think I have a pretty, shall I say, eclectic musical palette. How's that for some words?
Definitely. I would say so. That's awesome. And Elvis and the Beatles, what are your favorite songs by them?
Pardon?
What are your favorite songs by them?
Oh, gosh, it's easier to tell you which Beatles songs I don't like than it is to tell you the ones I like. I like most of them, you know. I didn't care for Look Up My Name, You Know My Number. I didn't care for that one. But most of the other ones I love. I think one of my favorite Beatles songs has got to be Hey Bulldog. Love Hey Bulldog. And it's from Yellow Submarine album. That's one of my favorite all-time songs by the Beatles.
Super cool. We have some Beatles fans in the chat room, so they're excited to hear that. So let's see here. Is there any place you would love to perform that you haven't yet performed at?
Staples Center?
Ooh,
there's a lot of places
that
would
good.
Like to perform. There's a lot of places that I haven't gotten to perform that I would love to perform, and I'm hoping that by the end of next year, I'm able to put together a small tour, and see where that goes. I've been working on that, as well as working on, putting a good solid band together.
That's super cool. And the tour would be awesome. So let's see. What is your favorite song to perform of yours?
Oh, of my own. Well, you know, a lot of people like to hear a song that's on my CD called Missing You. A lot of my friends call that the dictionary song. They say, what did you put those big words in there for? But it flows, you know, and it works.
Definitely.
It's a song about if you've ever been in a relationship and you didn't want, you know, you knew it was over, but you didn't want to be the one. You didn't want to be the bad guy. You didn't want to say, okay, let's end this. You're kind of like waiting for the other person to say, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, well, once that's done, you know, you're relieved, but at the same time, you're like, well, you know, did I do the right thing? And I was seeing this person, and we were, you know, we were still friends, and we were talking. She says, well, when you break up, you have to go through this catharsis, you know. And I said, well, explain that, and she did. And I said, well, that would be great if I could work that into a song. So I did. I worked it into a song.
Yeah.
I'm quite proud of the fact that I was able to use catharsis in a song. It kind of, you know, when you write songs, a lot of times you kind of invoke the spirit of someone else, some other songwriter, and, you know, and you say, well, hey, this is a song that they could do. You know, it never sounds, never really sounds like that person when you're done. But in this case, as I went along, it kind of started to sound like a Jackson Browning song in that kind of a flavor. So it kind of sounds like Jackson Browning. If you
awesome.
You know, he's kind of a headsy type, a cerebral type of writer.
Definitely. So let's see. Here's another good question. So I know you play the guitar. Do you play any other instruments?
Well, I can do a little keyboard work. I actually started out playing a horn. I was a
Ooh.
Horn player in school. I started in, you know, like the fifth grade or something in the school band. I wanted a guitar, you know, but you know, my uncle, he talked my mom into saying, well, you know, if he's really serious, get him a horn, and if he's really serious, then you can get him a guitar. Whatever kind of parental logic that is, I don't know. but I played the horn for 3 or 4 years, and then when I got into junior high school, I picked up the guitar, and I was very fortunate to have a couple of very good teachers to teach me how to play the guitar. I'm sure I bugged them more than they wanted to be bothered, but they did a great job. One of the fellows, his claim to fame is when the Rolling Stones first came to America, they played in my home county, which is San Bernardino.
Oh, cool.
And his band, the Driftwoods, opened up for the Rolling Stones on their very first American performance. And his name was Phil Rocha. And he was a very good guitar teacher, and his brother also, Daniel Rocha. And so that's how I got started with that.
Wow, that's really cool. That
Whether it's interesting
cool.
or not, I know.
Definitely. No, it is. Love it. So let's see here. What is the best advice you have ever received?
Don't give up your day job. Have your lips stitched together so you won't sing another note. What's the best advice I've ever gotten? Really, I think that probably is to not give up on your dreams. Move forward.
Absolutely.
And give yourself
Absolutely.
No other way to go but forward. If you must burn your bridges behind you, that can be a good thing because it gives you no direction to go but forward.
Absolutely. That is great advice. Definitely.
Got that from Rosie O'Connell.
Definitely. Awesome. So let's see here. We have some fan questions. Here are a few questions that were sent in from Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find music or did music find you?
Well, again, I think, you know, having come from a musical family,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just sort of there, you know, and it just kind of, you know, in some fashion or another, music creeps into everybody's life in one form or another, whether it's listening, writing, performing. And, of course, as you go along, you know, I guess the big thing is, you know, in my time when I started, you know, you had the Beatles and you know, you look back mm-hmm. and you got Elvis and everything. And, of course, everybody who in their right mind doesn't want to be in that position. You know, with you know, throngs of fans and, you know, all kinds of attention. You know, so I guess that's, you know, the reason, a lot of the reasons for many people, I wouldn't say everybody, but many people, you know, start off with wanting that type of thing and then you know, as you go along, somewhere along, you mature musically, and, you know, that more facets come to the surface about why you're in music, you know, what you just love to write songs, and you know, there's some kind of magic that happens when you write songs. You just don't know where they come from sometimes. And sometimes you listen to them and you wish they would go back wherever they came from. But when you have the good ones, it's wonderful. You know, there's a real high that you can't explain to someone unless they write songs. And then there's a whole other type of high you get when you record a song and you get that rush from the playback. And it's again, you know, the dopamine is really kicking in there, and it's just a wonderful mm-hmm. feeling. And it's, you know, these feelings are the same, but they're not the same. It's like when you perform live and you have a great audience, that's a great feeling too, but it's different than the recording feeling, different than the writing feeling, but they all kind of culminate and come together. But it's a multifaceted high.
Absolutely. And like songwriting also, you could have an outlet to express, you know, what you're feeling or stuff that's happening in your life, and that's always fun, like, because it could, other people could relate to it as well.
That's true. Quite a few people have written me and said that they kind of related to that, to the Missing You song, and a couple others, but, and it's very, very rewarding when somebody can relate to your songs. Hey, I like that one, you know. I can really relate to this one. You know, I went through something like that. Or I understand what you're saying. You know, that song helped me to come out of a bad place or to understand a bad thing. You know? So that's always, you know, a good thing because, you know, not only is it, songwriting is just like in the song Missing You, it's a catharsis for things that happen. You know, it's like having a psychiatrist around, you know, pen and paper. And it can be the same for other people who are listening. You know, it can be, you know, like going to a psychiatrist and understanding. It can bring understanding. It can bring a lot of things to people that that are good. It can get you motivated.
Yeah.
A song can get you motivated. It can, you know, and it's funny how music, you know, everyone in the whole wide world, and a lot of people don't know this, everyone in the whole wide world uses the same 8 notes, same basic 8 notes. You can make them sharp. You can make them flat. You can make a seventh. You can make a diminished. You can make an augmented. You can do these things, but they're all the same 8 notes. And all music derives from there, and it's very interesting to see how much variety there is in music with just, you know, I can't think of anything else in the world where the foundation is so basic but creates such a wide and diverse expression, for lack of a better word.
Absolutely. And, like, everyone from anywhere could be able to, you know, understand music because it's so, you know, out there.
That's true, you know, and I think that's one of the things that really make some artists very popular is because they hit that note and they, you know, they strike a chord in someone, you know, in people all around the world, like Elvis, for example, you know. I mean, he's been dead for 25 years, and people still love him just as if he was here today, and it's kind of interesting how these harmonics that are derived from music can invoke such emotion from people. It's very, you know, you know, there's no really real way to explain it because it's kind of a spiritual type of thing.
Definitely. Let's see here. Another question from Linda. So let's see here. I'm trying to find. Was your single Diana influenced by the late Princess Lady Diana?
Well, not really. I was seeing this girl named Diana, and at the time, and so I just kind of wrote that song for her, and so it was just kind of a coincidental type of thing. They just happened to have the same name, you know, and it was one of probably not one of my first recordings. Because I've been recording for a long time, but it was one of my first commercial type endeavors.
Absolutely, it's a very popular song, and that everyone enjoys. Isn't it true that you made a music video off of that one? If I'm correct.
We did a music video. I had my high school teacher. It started out as I had a friend who had a 16 millimeter camera, and he had just done this video for somebody. And I said, okay, hey, well, I'd like to do one. What's it going to cost me? And he said, well, yeah, we'll get together. We'll talk about it. I never heard from. Well, in the meantime, I'm out getting all this stuff together. Now I got nobody to film the thing, so I had to go out and hire a video production crew. And that's how I also got started in, you know, doing video and film stuff, was to, you know, because I had to do this. So it was my high school drama teacher that actually directed this video, and
it was
interesting, and I learned a lot from her because you know, she'd been in drama for a long time. She knew about making television shows and et cetera. So I got my first taste of film production from Billy Williams, the drama teacher at Bloomington High School.
Awesome. That's super cool. I bet you're, like, really, really proud that one of her students was doing this. That's
well,
so cool.
It was... I guess I never really asked her, but, you know, she just jumped right on board, and she was happy to do it, and it was an interesting little video, to say the least. I like I said, I had a lot of fun doing it, and I learned a lot, and it was great. It was a great experience.
That is really cool. And then let's see here. Chat room questions. So let's see. Eric B. in the chat room asks, what does he think is the hardest part of his career?
Well, you know, the hardest, it's all hard. It's very difficult. You're always worrying about, okay, you know, I want to do this, but, you know, you've got to support yourself, and, you know, recording time is expensive, and that's one of the reasons why I got my own equipment, because it's a lot cheaper to get your own equipment and learn how to do it than it is to, you know, keep doling out money to studios. So I was very lucky because I started recording at a very early age, so I had a good background. Though it was just, it wasn't very professional. And I moved up, you know, from 2-track to 4-track to 8-track to 16-track to so on. And then, you know, we get into the digital age. So, you know, I've been recording. I had a studio at my house for a long time. I have a studio here now, and I'm hoping that next year I'm going to be able to build another building to have the studio. But getting back to your question, you know, it's always a cash flow situation. If you want to make a CD, you know, you've got to come up with money to not only record it, but to have it mastered, then to have the artwork done, you know, to
oh,
get
yeah.
the, you know, to actually have the CDs made. And then it's a lot of money to mail them out here and mail them out there and you know,
mm-hmm.
make publicity and advertising. It's a lot easier now than it used to be, you know. It used to be just darn near impossible. There was no outlets except mm-hmm. for the, you know, the more standard commercial outlets. But,
yeah.
you know, it's always an ongoing struggle to try to get your music promoted and to try to get in a better, move up the ladder of internet.
Yeah.
Without getting your hands
exactly.
stepped on, without stepping on too many other hands as you go up.
Exactly. Definitely. And now they have, like, you know, things now that where you can buy CDs online, like iTunes and CD Baby, which makes it much
oh,
easier.
Oh, yeah. I'm with iTunes and CD Baby and Target. And, you know, I look on the internet sometimes and I find I'm places I had no idea that I was there. So the internet, you know, I don't know if these guys are making money off of me and I'm not seeing it, but anyway, it's out there. But you know, some of these sites I have never heard of before, you know, Joe Fishwife's Download Network. Okay.
It's crazy. There's never ending. Like,
yeah.
there's never ending social network sites.
But fortunately, see, we've got good people like you to come and help mm-hmm. out by exposing artists and their talent
mm-hmm.
or maybe the lack thereof.
Of course. That's what I'm here for. I love to promote. Definitely.
So.
So let's see here. Another question from Danny Slota in the chat room. Have you ever made any songs about Bloomington?
Not that I'd want to sing in public. Who was that question from?
Let's see here. I got to go back up. Danny Slota.
Who?
No, Danny.
Danny. Oh, Danny, now, there's the guy that got me coming into the modern age, kicking and streaming. He has provided me with more technical assistance in getting my current setup.
Awesome.
He has been a tremendous influence on where I'm going and where I happen to be. So I want to thank him from the bottom of my little bitty cold heart.
Very cool. Well, hello, Danny. Awesome.
Danny used to have a band, him and his brother and some of his friends used to have a band, and I had this little studio. Well, you know, they didn't have much money, but I got horses, they had goats, and they had tons of hay. So I'd say, hey, you know, they want to record something, they want to make a demo. I said, well, bring me 15 bales of hay, and we'll get busy. And they would, you know, here they come with a truckload of hay. We'd unload it and then start recording.
Awesome. That's super cool.
I'm easy.
That's a great story. That's awesome. Danny Sorgo just said, thanks, Eric. I'm glad you went digital. Cool.
Pardon?
Danny Slota in the chat room again says, thanks, Eric. I'm glad you went digital.
Yeah, you know. Now, I still record some analog, but, you know, Danny was able to get me into the digital age, like I said. As a matter of fact, on my CD, in the credits,
mm-hmm.
there's a booklet in the CD that, you know, it has the lyrics to the song. Then it has like a little paragraph story about why the song was written, and then there's the credits, and Danny is mentioned in those credits.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
So,
That's awesome.
If it wasn't for him, I would have had to chisel my CD in stone.
That would be original.
Yeah, it certainly would be. Wouldn't it? Eric Ross.
That would be.
Yeah, okay.
That would
Eric
be...
Ross and his CD is made out of rock.
Yeah, it would work. I'm telling you, that would work.
Speaking of CDs, while I'm thinking of it, would you like me to send you a couple of CDs and T-shirts you can use to give as giveaways on your show?
I would love that.
Okay.
That was so cool. Thank you.
Get you some CDs. I should have thought of it sooner. You would have had them by now. But.
Oh, no. It sounds great. I'll do the next show. If I have them by then.
All right.
But I promise I'll totally. Yeah. That's so cool. Thank you. The fans are like, ooh, awesome.
You're welcome.
You.
You're welcome.
Awesome. I got to mention, Linda wanted me to say congratulations on your Carbon McCartney CD and best of luck in your music career.
Oh, Linda's a great person. She's, I've known Linda for a long time. Her son, Tony, used to come and play drums for me. As a matter of fact, he's on a couple of songs on the CD. Linda and I started working on a film project that we've been trying to get funding for some time now. But we used to work together, and, she's a real sweet lady and a real talented one, too. I know a lot of talented people.
That's awesome. You gotta have the talented people.
That's true. I'm hoping that some of their talent will rub off on me and I'll actually be worth a darn someday. You know, I can bask in their glow.
You're great.
Well, thank you.
Definitely. And also, question sent in from Janice. What song was created for a loved one? Oh, that's the first question. What song was created for a loved one?
Well,
by Janet.
They're all kind of created as an inspiration for a loved one somehow or another. Mm-hmm. All my songs are derived from experiences from, I can't say all of my songs are. But most of my songs are derived from either direct experiences from someone or someones. And so, as you go through life, you may start a song with one person in mind. One person may inspire a song. But as you go along, you start thinking, you start thinking about this one and that one. And, you kind of nick little pieces from other parts of your life to fit in, that'll fit in with this particular song. So it's not always directly about someone in particular, though I do have a few songs like Hey Little Girl that was written about someone, and Shoebox was written about someone in particular. Some songs are written as more of a wish or a hope. Like I have a song called Imagine, and that's more of a wish about finding, that elusive perfect love situation. And imagining that you can find that person.
Definitely. And it's always good hints, that you have some inspiration towards songs. Makes you good.
Yeah, it's always good to have an inspiration. And sometimes you're too close to actually write a song at that moment. And sometimes weeks, months, or even years go by. It's like with Shoebox. It was like 3 or 4 years before I actually was able to actually write that song, because the incident was just too close, and, you know, I was just a little too tender to actually try to write something about it. And then, you know, I had started a couple of lines, and then I put it away. And then a few times I would take it out and maybe write a line, and then I'd put it away. And then a year went by, and then I pulled it out for the CD, and I thought, well, you got to finish it now. So you better get inspired. you need a song here, so you better get moving. So I'm kind of one of those people that I work better on a deadline than just having an open ended I'm gonna do it type of thing. And I can write and record relatively fast when the mood strikes me, and that's really the way I like to do it. I can write, you know, enough songs in a month's time and go and record and be done in 3 weeks to a month. Because I, if you take too long, the song starts sounding worked on, you know. There's an old thing, you know, you got to put on the different hats. It's feel versus perfection. And if you listen to anybody's music, and in this particular case, we'll talk about the Beatles, if you put on a set of headphones, you'll hear a lot of mistakes. And, but music is not about perfection always. It's about, the way it emotes, way your emotions come out. And, it doesn't always have to be note perfect. I played in a band one time. We were playing a Led Zeppelin song, and, you know, the guys copied it note for note, but they didn't realize that there was a mistake. There was a little mistake in the song. But the feel was right. And, of course, you know, like I told you when Susie was on, if, we have a saying, Dick, make a mistake. If you mess up once, it's called a mistake. If you mess up, if you make the same mistake two times in a row, you would call it jazz. But nothing is note perfect. And I'd rather listen to a song that moves me emotionally than something that's sterile and clinically produced. I don't, you know, there's a lot of music out there like that that's real clinical, you know. It's just cookie cutter type of stuff, and, you know, and people are always trying to, get the sound that everybody else is getting. And if you read a lot of, like I do, if you read a lot of articles by mastering engineers and recording engineers, they're always complaining that people are sucking the life out of their music by the way they have it mixed, and it'll lack dynamics. So I try to record. Even though this most of this CD was recorded digitally, a lot of my friends have said, "Well, you know, hey, it has a very warm sound to it, almost like it was recorded analog. Because when you record analog, it does have a very smooth sound to it." And I've been able to learn how to recreate that sound over the years, and it works well for me.
Definitely, that's all that matters. Everyone in the chat room was wondering if you'd be able to sing a little bit for us, maybe a song that was that you like to sing, that's one of yours.
Well, look at this. What do you know? We just happen to have a guitar right here. Don't know where it came from.
Oh, look at that.
But by golly, it's here. I don't know if this is going to work. We'll have to try this out.
Yeah.
We'll have to try this out real quick. Do a little test here and see how this
sounds
works.
Good.
And I will sing you, Missing You. How about that?
Sounds good. I'm excited.
Let's see if this is going to work. Hang on.
All right. Awesome.
Well,
if this works. Can you hear me? Let's hear me.
Can you hear that? Is it okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we hear you.
I will sing Missing You, and hopefully it won't be too bad, huh? Okay, here we go.
No, sounds awesome. Everyone tune in again. And I want to thank you so much, Eric, for coming on and wrapping us up with a great song.
I hope to come back again someday.
Absolutely. You can come back anytime. It was such a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Awesome. It was so much fun talking to Eric. He is awesome and even sang us a song. Yee! Yippee. I'm so excited. It was so cool of him to come on. And so everyone, you can get his CD, remember. Remember that, people. Now we have some extra little fun segments for you guys. And we introduced a new segment to the show last week on our anniversary show called Strangest or Silliest Tweets. here are a few more good ones tonight that I found on a web page called Outside My Brain. Number one was, "Darn, girl, got a fun time. Crazy doesn't get days off." Another good tweet was number two. "I went to the bookstore and asked the saleswoman oh my goodness. I went to the bookstore and asked the saleswoman where the self-help section was, and she said if she told me it would defeat the purpose. I had to repeat that one because that's a tongue twister. Number three, let's see here. Twittering is dangerous. I was reading my tweets and not watching where I was walking and ran into a pole. That happens sometimes. Number four, dreamed I was doing community service, picking up trash on a mountainside in Yellowstone last night. What the heck sort of dream is that? Number five is, how fun would life be if you could tickle yourself? All right, that was an interesting one. Also, I want to mention upcoming guests. On October 22nd will be a special show because we will be live on location from Helen, Georgia, with special guest Colt Chambers. Y'all know him. Y'all love him. On October 29th will be our Halloween show with special guest Chelsea Ray. November 5th, we have singer-songwriter Savannah Uten again will join us to catch us up on what she has been doing. And now, the crazy item sold on eBay segment that you all love, especially me, and here's what I found. A UFO detector was sold for $135.03. Wonderful. The other one was a real shrunken head from an Indian tribe sold for $25. And then the next one, the original 1923 Hollywood sign sold for $450,400. And then this one is hilarious. Four men auctioned themselves off on eBay for a weekend with the promise of lots of alcohol, snacks, and a check of a lot of laughs. This weekend went for $1,300. Wonderful. And then I want to thank everyone for coming to the show tonight. And thank you to our special guest, Eric Davenport. I'm looking forward to having everyone tune in next week to Your Time with Josie while we are live in Georgia with Colt Chambers, and it'll be such a fun show. I'm so looking forward to it. And maybe we can get Colt to sing a little bit for us live. Oh, yeah. And talk to you guys soon. Thank you guys so, so much. And I will see you guys next Friday. Oh, yeah. All right.
This is Your Time with Josie. We'll have a blast every Friday right here. I'll make it memorable for listeners all ages. So glad you joined me today.